Well, it's good to see everybody. I was concerned if anybody was going to show up or what, you know. Well, I was concerned if I was going to show up because it was cold and it was nice under my blankets this morning. We are in a series about being rooted. And the first week we talked about it has to start with being connected to Jesus. We have to be rooted in Christ and not in our performances and the things that we do. The second week, we talked about being rooted in the Word. And when we're rooted in God's Word, we're not rooted in the noise of the world. We're not rooted in the temporary things. Today, I want to talk about something that every believer knows is important. And we talk about it often and often and often, but many quietly struggle with. And I think it's being rooted in prayer. Some people feel guilty. I don't pray enough. I don't know how to pray. Some feel discouraged because they've tried praying in the past and maybe God didn't answer the prayer the way you thought He should answer. So you feel awkward about it. Some people just say, hey, I'm just not good at praying. Let somebody else pray. Some people say, I don't even know what to say. The disciples said that. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And He did. And He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Some people say, you know what? Like Howard prays for a real long time. I don't pray that long, so I must not be a good prayer. No, it's not how long you pray or how often you pray. It's if you pray. It's communication. It's a relationship with God. Jesus never said prayer was about being impressive. Prayer is simply about being dependent and showing our dependence on something bigger than us, God. Prayer is not a spiritual performance. It's not a spiritual performance. It is a posture of dependence. And our roots will grow deep when we try to stop impressing God. You're not going to impress God. God's not going to finally say, wow, I never thought of that. I'm so glad you came up with that. You're never going to impress God. What we have to do is learn to depend on Him. The verse I want to share, it comes from John chapter 15, verse 7. And it says this, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Now, a lot of people take that out of context. Listen again. But, and that's a big but if you remain in me, that's the condition. If you remain in me and my words, and we talked about remaining in Christ, that's the first root to grow, and in His words, remain in you. That's the second root that we talked about, being rooted to the Word. It says, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. This verse here, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted, it's not a formula. Okay, if I connect to Jesus and if I connect to His Word, okay, God, I love You and You know I love You and I am connected. I've got this great relationship with Jesus and I've been studying Your Word, but now I need those numbers to the lottery and I'm praying You give me those lottery numbers and You got to come through, Lord, because I'm remaining in You and Your Word's remaining in me. That's not the formula. It's not a formula. What it is, it's a relationship. What He's talking about is, what is our relationship? If you and I have a relationship and you come to me and you say, Paul, I need help. You're a pastor with a truck. I need help. And we have a relationship, guess what? I'm going to help you. I'm going to do what you're asking of me. But if we don't have a relationship and you say, hey, I'm trying to get in touch with the pastor at Three Point Bible Church. And I'm like, okay. And I answer the phone. You say, hey, I heard you got a truck. Can I borrow your truck for the weekend? I'm going to tell you no. Because we don't have no relationship. And even if we have a relationship and you want to borrow my truck for a weekend, I might tell you no. I might tell you yes, but I might tell you no. It depends on what your driving record is, kind of thing. But it's not a formula. And our prayer flows from abiding and remaining. In fact, if you look at this verse in chapter 15, but if you remain in me, all that stuff before it is talking about how Jesus is the vine and we are these branches. And as the spiritual fruit is alive in our life, it's not because of the things we do. It's because we are being fed with the living water of Jesus Christ, and that's bearing the fruit in our lives. But if we don't remain in Him and we pull apart from the vine, you're just going to wither and die. And you can ask for, well, put me back on the vine. You're not going to be grafted in. Roots grow deep when we stop trying to impress God and we start learning to depend on Him and we remain and we abide in Him. It's not spiritual performance. It's a posture of our dependence on who He is and what He is able to do. The first point I want us to think about is this, is prayer is where our roots will grow deep. That's where our roots will go deep. Jesus says, if you remain in me, prayer is how we remain. Praying is how we remain in Jesus. Prayer is not this religious duty, a backup plan, plan B. Like, I've tried everything my way and it didn't work out, so now I'm going to you, God, as a last resort. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is this. Prayer is staying connected. I'm connected. Prayer is staying dependent. God, I can't do this. I made the mess all by myself, but God, I'm walking with you. I want to be yoked with you. It means staying close. And just like roots grow deep when they are filled with water from the soil, prayer draws our life from Jesus Christ. As we pray, we begin to feel His Spirit. And the more we pray, the more we will begin to hear His voice and recognize His voice as opposed to all of the noise and stuff that's in the world. And if our roots dry up, the tree gets weak. And even if the tree still looks healthy, it's going to be weak. I think of situations that we have been praying for recently. Just a couple weeks ago, we thought my mother-in-law was dead. Margie didn't know what was going on. And the doctor comes out crying, I've done everything I can, and all you can do is pray. And when the doctor tells you that, the first thing you do is like, what are you talking about? And this was an outpatient surgery. I mean, she was supposed to be in and out. We're supposed to be taking her out to eat. And now we don't even know if she's going to make it through the day. And so, you know what? He says, all we can do is pray. That's not the way we felt. We thought, no, we're not. That's not all we can do. That's the only thing we can do. And so we start to pray, and we're praying, and we're praying, and we're praying. My mother-in-law's at my house now, and we actually have to tell her, slow down, because she wants to walk so good. You know, she's running down the hall. I'm like, okay, let her go. You know, I'm like, yeah, let her go. She breaks a leg, she'll learn, you know. No, you can't do that, you know. She's doing great. You know what? That's an answer to prayer. And we see God at work. When we first planted our church and we were thinking of, we were on the back porch. We had a couple that came to our church. And this man was found to be with this terminal cancer, was only given just a few months to live at the most. We started praying. In fact, I remember, Tony, your wife made a prayer blanket. She knitted one of those prayer shawl blanket things, and we laid hands on that and we prayed and we said, oh man, you know. And so we gave it to him, and he had it in the hospital with him. 2 weeks later, the doctors went in there and said, we can't find cancer anywhere. That's an answer to prayer. Marsha Hycheck, she says, you know, we anointed her just a couple weeks ago. She was nervous. She was worried about this surgery that could go horribly wrong. And yet God heard our prayers and God healed her. And she sent out a report to me yesterday. And I know I'm embarrassing you, Marcia, but you know me. I don't care. So she sends out this report to me where the doctor sends her a note saying, hey, you don't even have to have any radiation. You don't have to have any chemo. You are clear. All the markers are clear. The margins are clear. You are healed. And we see God's answer to prayer, and yet we don't do it. We just kind of throw it up when we need. And yet that's the same God that wants to work in our lives every day, every moment. He wants good things for us. He wants to answer prayers. But He says if we don't have because we don't ask. And so we celebrate moments like that, and we say, yes, what a great God we serve. And then we just go on about our way, doing our own thing until the next situation comes up, and then we go to Him in prayer. I get on to Theresa all the time, our secretary, because she comes in with like 6-7 pages of the prayer request. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Is any prayer being answered? Because everybody, you know, we got like 100 people. Like maybe 200 now, I don't know. But we got a bunch of people on their prayer requests. It's like, is God answering prayers? You know what? Maybe God is waiting for us, all of us, to start praying more diligently, more hardly, you know, harder prayers for these people. Instead of just throwing a name out there, let's pray for these people and watch how God moves and how God works. Number two, I think many really don't pray because they think maybe they're doing it wrong. You know, when I see you pray and I hear you pray, man, I think heaven is moving. I think God is rending the heavens and God is pouring out things. When I hear you pray, it's like, oh, man, I can tell you are filled with the Spirit. But, man, when I pray, it's just kind of like, well, you know, God is great and God is good. Thank you for this food. I think some people avoid prayer because they feel like, I don't know the right words. You know, there are no right words. What are you saying? And sometimes it says, when we don't even know what to say, you know what? The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. God just wants this relationship with us. Sometimes we feel unworthy. You know what? I've messed up. I don't even know what to say. And there have been times, and I'm a pastor, and there have been times when I've been faced with a situation when someone comes to me and they're laying on me what's going on in their lives, and I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to pray, but you know this person, Lord, and I need you to answer their prayer. I don't know what to say. Sometimes we compare ourselves to others. You know, do I pray like this person or this person or this person? Don't call on me to pray, Paul, because I just can't do it. But Scripture, if you read through God's Word, it never shows prayer as something that's polished. It's never polished. It shows prayer as being deeply, deeply honest and transparent. Because God is not sitting there like a teacher grading your prayers. You know what? You had a dangling modifier there, and I think we need to get rid of that. Oh, never end with a preposition. God's not grading your prayers. He's welcoming you into His presence. That's what prayer is, just going into the presence of God. And prayer, honestly, doesn't begin with confidence. It doesn't begin with you feeling confident about it. What prayer does, it builds your confidence. The more you pray, you're going to find out the easier it is to speak to God. Jesus' disciples, when they came to Him, said, you know, Jesus, teach us how to preach. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And He did. Number three, prayer is more about a relationship. And it's not about the results. Yes, God answers prayer. Yes, prayer has power. But first, prayer changes us. What prayer does, it aligns our hearts. It softens our attitudes. It clarifies our priorities. It deepens our trust. I know you guys probably think I'm the perfect husband. I know Margie thinks that. But it wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. And I remember early in our marriage, you know, Margie and I mean, we weren't struggling. But, we got married, and the two are supposed to be one. But it was like Margie and I got married, and I moved her up here where I knew everybody. So I was still doing my own thing. I was on, like, 4 or 5 softball teams. I was changing things. I was doing Paul things. I got my scuba diving thing. I did my martial arts. I did all this stuff. And you know what? I left Margie at home. I figured you do your thing, I'll do my thing. That's not how a marriage is supposed to work. And then all of a sudden, I noticed our relationship started getting better and better and better. And God was changing me because I began to think, like, you know what? Maybe I'm neglecting my wife. I'm not being the best husband that I could be. And then I found out that Margie had been praying diligently and keeping a journal, and she was praying for me, her husband. And so I asked her about it, and she said, "Paul, as I was praying, you know, that God would strengthen our relationship, and I was praying for you, I noticed God was changing me." And that's how prayer works. As I go to my knees and I pray for a situation, I find out that God is changing me. He may not change the way this person acts, or he may not change this particular situation, but he is changing me in such a way that I'm able to face that situation, or to ride out that storm, or to navigate life better. We often come to God and we say, "God, change my situation. I need your help. Change my situation." But God often responds by saying, "Hey, let me first change your perspective." Soren Kierkegaard said this: "The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays." I mean, prayer is less about getting God to do what we want and more about becoming who God wants us to become. And another point, dependence is not about weakness. It's about maturity. In our culture, independence is praised. "I did it my way." Oh, that's awful. In our culture, independence is praised, but in Scripture, dependence on God shows strength. Jesus modeled this. Jesus prayed before he made decisions. Jesus prayed in moments of pressure. Jesus prayed in moments of weakness. Jesus prayed in moments of surrender. Jesus often got away from the crowd, went out early in the morning when no one else was even awake or about, so he could spend time with the Father in a relationship. And if Jesus depended on God the Father, how much more do you think we need to depend on God the Father? And the more spiritually we become, the more spiritually mature we become, let me say that, the more aware we are of our need for God. And that's the way things work. As you begin to study and we find ourselves, going through school and you think like, "Okay, I finally made it. I'm a senior. I've reached the pinnacle." Until you graduate, then what happens? Okay, then you got to go to college, or you got to go to work, or you got to do something. Then you find yourself back down. You're nothing. And you found out that, you know what, where I thought I was up here, I found out how much I really don't know about stuff. And that's the way life is. And that's when we become mature, when we realize we're not the smartest thing around. We're not the bee's knees. The universe does not revolve around us. And that's maturity. The more spiritually mature we become, the more aware we are of our need for God. And consistent prayer, it builds stability in our lives. It doesn't build perfection. Prayer doesn't have to be long to be powerful, but prayer has to be regular. Roots don't grow overnight. They grow through daily contact with living water. And so just a few honest moments with God each day is going to shape you more than just occasional spiritual intensity. Because consistency builds depth. We love those mountaintop experiences. You know, especially when I was growing up as a youth, and whenever we would go to Awanata, or we would go to Glisten, or we would go to some of these camps, and you're away from everything else, and man, it was spiritual. And everybody's hugging, and everybody's crying, and everybody's praying, and everybody's like, oh, I feel the Spirit. And then you go home on Monday, and you just put the Spirit back in a box. And then we say, like, "Oh, I can't wait for the next spiritual moment." Well, let me tell you, each moment is a spiritual God moment. And the more time we spend with Him, the more we see that. And the more we pray, even these little short bursts, when we're driving, "God, be with me today. God, be with my wife today. God, be with my family today. God, be with my coworkers today. God, be with my fellow students today. God, be with all of these people in my life. The more we do that, you're going to find yourself connected to God, and you're going to feel the Spirit moving in your life. And that prayer begins to build stability in our lives. Because consistency is what develops the depth. And if we want our roots to grow, we have to be consistent. So, how do we do that? And what does this mean? Paul, you talk about prayer, and you know, you encourage us to come on Tuesday nights. I still don't feel comfortable about doing that. I you know, don't call on me to come up here and pray. But I want to remove the pressure from all of that. And I want to invite you to begin to practice. The first thing you can do is just be simple. Just a simple prayer. Be honest in your prayers. Be short, but be frequent in your prayers. You don't have to impress God. You're not going to impress God. You just have to show up. He's waiting for you. You know, the Bible says Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't just kick the door open and say, hey, you hadn't answered the door. It's just, he knocks. You have to open the door. You have to be present. So this week, maybe, just pause. Just pause for a moment and say, Jesus, I need you today. Help me remain in you. Just start there. I gave you a prayer a couple weeks ago, and I had somebody write to me, thought I was making a theological statement about something else, and it was like, that's not what I was saying at all. I was just saying, each week, each day, we need to say, Jesus, I want to remain in you. And I want you to be with me. That's it. Nothing fancy, nothing long, just showing our dependence. Pray while driving, while you're driving. All of us are drive. Don't close your eyes and pray, but pray while you're driving. Pray while you're walking. We have a prayer walk around the building. Maybe not in 15-degree weather, but when it starts to warm up, come out and just walk around the church. It's beautiful. You know, when the trees are the path is nice. It's nice, especially when the people are at school and there's no one to bother you. Pray while you're walking. Before you go into a meeting, whether it's at work or whether it's with a customer or with whatever, before you do, just pray. Just pray. Pray when you're anxious, when there's a storm in your life. Pray when you're thankful about something. God, thank you so much for answering that prayer. Because prayer turns ordinary moments into sacred moments. And you're going to hear me say this all year long, that these God moments are every single day, every single moment. We just have to notice them. Oftentimes, we just run around like a chicken with our heads cut off, and we're caught up in this rat race of the world, and we don't know where to go and what to do. And so we take our eyes off of the prize. We take our eyes off of God. So imagine Three Point as a church that we don't panic first. We don't panic. And we don't rely on ourselves. And we don't pray here at Three Point as a last resort. We depend daily on God. We trust deeply in God. We want to abide consistently in Christ, because deep roots show where our dependence is practiced. Dear Father, I pray that you would teach us to depend on you. Not just when life is hard, but Father, in every moment of every day. Father, grow our roots deep through prayer so that we can stand strong and bear what this world is throwing at us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.